Christ among us.
He is and always will be. Welcome to our kitchen table.
All right, so I apologize, or we apologize, for last week that we didn't get to do a podcast. Just, this is busy life of ours. We figured that it would be much better to skip rather than just to say something and might not have a good value. So,
and we didn't. We just didn't have a moment.
We just have a moment. Mm-hmm. So, okay. We're coming back to St. Theophan, the path to salvation. And last 2 weeks ago, my father ended the chapter very nicely about the zeal. And naturally, as every other saint, St. Theophan realizes that after zeal, and if we make ourselves to have some kind of zeal, even if it's a little bit forced at the beginning, we start to find out that there are some roadblocks in our life. And St. Theophan today starts in his third chapter, which is called In the Face of Temptations. He starts to talk about the temptations and these roadblocks that make or could make the zeal of a Christian weaker. And as you said, as Sarah said, it was a couple of paragraphs, and Sarah said it was a, what do you say, punch of?
Up gut punch.
Up gut punches, so, and it is.
Bunch of punches to the mouth.
One thing we have to realize with this, that this is written for every Christian to read by himself. So not as a family-oriented. I think our approach will be as a family-oriented, but it will be approaching one-on-one as St. Theophan is meaning to.
Like you can apply it to your... I mean, I'm applying it to myself and seeing... Right. seeing how terrible, like, just... I am at all times.
I went to confession today, and I read this before my confession, before my examination, before confession. The list got much bigger than I thought.
I know.
But what I want to say is that there are a couple of things that we can make as a family, and we'll focus on this. So we'll try, and we'll go from there.
Yeah, and I think that it will help our marriage.
I think so, as always.
Mm-hmm. Thank God.
Thank God. So I don't know if you have anything highlighted in the first paragraph, but...
You do. Go for it.
I do. And I'm going to read this. It's basically almost a whole paragraph. And St. Theophan writes, "When a man is in a calm condition, when nothing is disturbing him, nothing is deceiving him or leading him into sin, then he is ready for every kind of holy and pure life. But as soon as the movement of a passion or temptation comes, where are all the promises? What does a man not often say to himself as he leads an unrestrained life? Now I will no longer do this." This few sentences hit me because I don't pay attention throughout my life what's good, what's not. There's, of course, I have this moral compass, but sometimes I do feel like I'm in a good state of soul and body, and then next day I talk to father confessor or father, my spiritual father, and they give you a slap in the face that you're not in this pure life. Mm-hmm. You're actually far away from it. Mm-hmm. And this is for me, this what my spiritual fathers, they do is this slap. And I think that this is what St. Theophan is saying, is, well, does a man not often say to himself as he leads an unrestrained life, like, after they do something, you realize that, like, wait a minute, what have I done? That doesn't make sense.
It does. And the last sentence after you just read that, does a man not often say to himself as he leads an unrestrained life, now I will no longer do this? And then it says, but once the passion again becomes hungry, a new impulse arises, and again he finds himself in sin.
Yeah.
Like, you might think that you're okay, you know, we might think that we're doing great,
right.
But then as soon as, I mean, and we're in passion period. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But as soon as something major triggers us, then we forget. Sure. Or we go away from that promise, now I will no longer do this.
Well, we go from the promise, but if we have to think about it too, when you just said something, it just hit me. No, this impulse arises. Why this impulse arises? Because it's rooted within us.
Yeah.
So I would say that even the more constant confession, this promise is kept more clear.
Yeah.
And clean. And the slate is clean because this passion cannot grow hungry. It's like you're putting a weed killer on this root, and every time like you see a leaf, you pour more weed killer, and the root dies. Mm-hmm. So I think this is the confession. So I don't know, this is my take on it. Maybe it's wrong, and this is what my take is from this text. Mm-hmm. Well, and then the next paragraph, when we continue.
Just the beginning of that paragraph is saying, like, yeah, it's, of course, it probably feels pretty good to think about your different offenses when everything's going according to your will.
Yeah.
Like, when you feel like, when you think that you're in a good state with God, or you feel really good about yourself, that's how, like, I'm kind of seeing it a little bit, is he's just, like, taking us all down pegs, saying, like, here, you think you might be in a good state, and when you do think that, you don't see yourself as this sinful creature, but then once you realize that you've, like, fallen into sin or fallen into passion, then...
Oh, there you go.
Does that make sense?
It does make sense.
The one sentence that we both have underlined... in the middle of this paragraph, if anybody's following along, we're on page 29 and this third section, in the face of temptation. But we both have, just leading into it, it's basically he's saying, when you find yourself, when you're in a good condition, you have these, you bear the sins and offenses according to our will, not against our self-love. But when you find yourself in the opposite condition, then you're like in a poor, sad state.
Right.
And but we have underlined, thus you may well dream, trusting in yourself, mm-hmm. about leading a Christian life without any help from above, as long as your soul is calm. And for me, that reminded me for some reason about in our evening prayers. The prayer of Saint John of Damascus.
Mm-hmm. Would you mind reading it for our listeners?
Yeah, I can. I'll read the whole thing, and then I'll read what made me think about it. O Lord, lover of mankind, is this bed to be my coffin, or will you enlighten my wretched soul with another day? Here the coffin lies before me, and here death confronts me. I fear, O Lord, your judgment and the endless torments, yet I cease not to do evil. That sentence just rips me apart every time. I fear, O Lord, your judgment and the endless torments, yet I cease not to do evil. My Lord and God, I continually anger you and your Immaculate Mother and all the heavenly powers and my holy guardian angel. I know, O Lord, that I am unworthy of your love, but deserve condemnation in every torment. But whether I want it or not, save me, O Lord. And then this is a sentence that made me, that like brought me to this. For to save a good man is no great thing, and to have mercy on the pure is nothing wonderful, for they are worthy of your mercy. But show the wonder of your mercy to me, a sinner. In this, reveal your love for man, lest my wickedness prevail over your unutterable goodness and mercy, and order my life as you will. I don't know, it just like brought me to that because like we trust ourselves, we think that we're so good. But the people that are worthy of his mercy, but we aren't.
Yeah. And, well, this kind of leads to self-condemnation also, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You know, when, I don't know which saint I used in my homily, not this time, but the other day, that the saint said that if we condemn ourselves, we literally skip judgment day. You know, mm-hmm. it's like this path that God understands that We see ourselves as these worst human beings, not even worthy to walk on the God's creation, which is earth. And when he sees it, which he does, he understands that, well, there is some kind of self-humility and this deep understanding of pure heart.
Mm-hmm. So. And even if we don't have that pure heart, we still know our unworthiness.
Right.
You know, does that make sense?
It does. If you read these saints, you'd never, ever, read that they thought that I'm good.
Yeah, exactly. That's what's so scary.
Then I'm good. They usually you get from these guys like, I'm not gonna make it.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think we can't just give up. When the temptation comes, we need to examine it, mm-hmm. and see where it is coming from. And he continues with, we are not going paragraph to paragraph, so if you see us jump, usually the paragraph is so strong that we have nothing else to say.
Our small brains can't say anything about them. No,
we will just destroy the beauty of that sentence or paragraph. So.
But we'll always let you know where we are.
Right. So we are on a page 30 now, and St. Theophon, and we'll finish with this example, because I think it's a really beautiful example. So Theophan talks about one of the temptations right now, and he says, again, somebody has offended you, a battle begins, there are reproaches and judgment, some unjust but convenient way of looking at it presents itself to your mind, and you seize it. You belittle one, spread a tale to others, confuse someone else, and all this after you were boasting of the possibility of leading a holy life by yourself without special help from above. Where was your strength then?
Oh my gosh. Literally, this socked me in the mouth. I'm not kidding.
Literally, somebody offended you. Could be in a car. Home, in the church, market,
at work,
somebody cut you off, mm-hmm. but he's giving you step by step what's happening with the body and mind.
And I can point to daily examples in myself of when I do this.
Uh-huh.
And he's reading mind.
He says, where is your strength now?
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
You thought that you were good by yourself, and thinking that spiritual life is good, just doing it by yourself.
Yeah.
And when literally, he's mentioning the littlest temptation. Mm-hmm. Well, this temptation offending is like being offended by somebody. It's probably our cause of our pridefulness too. So it's a bigger portion, but in any case, it's still just a little thing. Mm-hmm. You could just be off. Oh, God forgive him.
Yes, exactly. And then, it snowballs. Starts. Yeah.
Yeah, and as you said, with the anger too. You know, one maybe little or bigger thing happens, and then any little thing that just you look at or hear just makes it 10 times worse.
Yeah.
And he also, as any good saint, he follows up with the scripture saying, the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Matthew 26:41. You see good and do evil. When I would do good, evil is present with me. Romans 7:21. We are in captivity. Redeem us, O Lord. It's beautiful.
A holy man right there.
No, thank God. I'm so happy that my father came 2 weeks ago to finish the Zila, because he gave a little bit different perspective, not just how to read a saint, but how to approach even spiritual fathers and confessors. Like, there are these markers and pillars of that where point you in a correct direction. Like, you have problem with anger, you must go this way and uproot this route. You are easily getting offended. Well, too bad. You know, work on yourself. Mm-hmm. And these guys helped a lot.
Yeah, and it's that also, the you know, the pridefulness and that the example before, like with the anger and with the but with like having somebody offended you and that being your pride, you know, pridefulness and stuff. It also points to something that, you know, our Father Miron does a book study with the field, St. Ignatius Brancheninov, and it's what we're working on right now with self-accusation, and it's a perfect practice for that to help with that, it seems like.
It is, and it is a difficult practice, and it's unnatural, and I have a feeling if people talk to like any modern psychologist, they would be like, you're crazy. That's not how you should be. You should be loving yourself. You should be confident in yourself. And yet gospel and these pillars, these saints, they say, no, you're nothing.
Yeah.
You know?
Because every example, you belittle one, you spread tales to the other, you confuse someone else.
Mm-hmm.
Those are all things that happen.
Gossip.
Those are all things that happen when you are not following the teachings of the
gospel.
What
is it? Would you say a venting would be a good thing to say about that?
Yes.
Not even gossiping, but just like venting out the frustration?
Yes. I am so guilty of that at all times.
So am I.
It's so shameful. I think that maybe it's good that when you hate yourself when you read these things, because that's how I feel. But
imagine, let's take, for example, the book study my dad has.
Yeah.
Self-accusations. Well, if somebody offends you and you already, accuse yourself of being the worst human being, not because maybe you are, but because it's good for your soul. Mm-hmm. That person is not going to bother you.
Right.
And we always often forget that.
Yeah.
Well,
I don't have anything else for that paragraph, but these are some seriously powerful words that just I can't see myself coming back to when I know that I'm falling.
Sure. I think we'll go back to these words more and more often.
Yeah.
And knowing St. Theophan, he is going to return to these temptations. As we can see, even with just this one page, St. Theophan already, how would you say this, builds foundation for this another step. And if you are following us on the page, on the next page, there is already subtitles, how Christian life begins in the mystery of baptism. He is already preparing us for this mystery that connects us with God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, connects this fallen being into being that is with God.
Mm-hmm.
And this is an important step. And even as a family, I think is either if you, you know, husband and wife do it together, this practice, or just one-on-one and they come together, helps to not just form them, but the child or children also.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a beautiful thing. Knowing this a few years ago, I'll be in a much better state.
Me too.
You know, and like reading this step by step and trying to understand it a little bit more, we can help our child to start from beginning, you know, and not waste any time.
And hopefully see at least a partial piece of an example from us
absolutely.
In that.
But we can put those seeds in and
yeah.
Anyways.
Yeah.
thank you for joining us. For next week, there is some going to be a special behind the kitchen table. My brother, seminarian subdeacon Tim, is coming over to our house. And I'm not going to tell you what he's going to talk about.
Because he doesn't even know. I'm just kidding. Oh, no, does he have his own career?
Dang it.
Sorry.
I wanted to catch our readers or our listeners to, like, join in the next week. But, well, if you have time, I think we'll be talking about his project. If you are friends with him, you know what I'm talking about. If not, he'll explain it a little bit more. And
evangelizing a little bit. And it's what he's doing.
That's what he's doing.
Yes.
And, well, also, I think we'll get a little perspective from different eparchy and how the lifestyle is there and how he is preparing for his next step, which is role to holy priesthood. Mm-hmm. And I'm really excited to see him. It's going to be a really good conversation. So if you have time, it will be a little bit longer than our usuals, but I promise you it will be worth it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Through the prayers of our Holy Fathers, Lord Jesus Christ, our God, have mercy on us.